ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। I'm reading 29th verse first. Vyanjako vayatha loko vyangyasya karatamiyat sarvartha vyanjakatvat dhirartha karapradrishyate. I said, this verse, what is given as a 29th verse, is a verse literally lifted from Upadesha Sahasri, a text called Upadesha Sahasri. So, Vyanjakova Yatha Alokaha. Vyanjako Vyanjakaha Va Yatha Alokaha. Vyanjako vayatha loko vyangyasya karatamiyat sarvartha vyanjakatvat dhirartha karapradrishyate. See, vyanjaka alokaha. The alokaha in this verse means light. The word alokaha in verse 29 means the light. And this light, how is this light? See, yatha alokaha. You see two avagrahas. If you break it, yatha alokaha. The light, how is the light? The light is of the, light is formless. Light has no specific form. No given shape or anything. And the light is, how was this light? This light illumines. Therefore, vyanjakaha. Vyanjakaha means the light which brings things to light is called vyanjakaha. Vyanjakaha means that which brings to light. This alokaha is vyanjakaha. This light is that, the light which doesn't have a form of its own, brings all forms to light. Alokaha vyanjakaha. Or vyanjakaha alokaha, which means the light which brings things to light. So bringing things to light is called what? Illumination, illumining. So vyanjakaha alokaha means the light which brings things to light. This light has no form, but still, vyangyasya akaratam iyat. Vyangyam means that which is illumined. So vyanjakaha means that which brings things to light, that which illumines. Vyanjakaha means that which illumines, that which brings things to light. Vyangyam means that which is illumined. So, vyanjakaha, illuminator, vyangyam, illumined. And who is vyanjakaha? Vyanjakaha is alokaha. Alokaha means prakashaha. So, vyanjakaha, alokaha means vyanjakaha, prakashaha. The illumining light, which is formless by itself. What happens? Vyangyam means illumined. The illumined has some form or the other. So, vyangyasya ஆகாரதாம் இயத். ஆகாரஹ மீன்ஸ் ஃபார்ம். ஆகாரஹ மீன்ஸ் ஃபார்ம். ஆகாரதாம் இயத். இயத் மீன்ஸ் அட்டைன்ஸ். So the illumining formless light assumes the form of the illumined object. That's what is the meaning. Vyangyasya akaratam yat. So this light attains or has the akara form. Form of what? Form of the illumined. So the formless formless illuminator light assumes the form of the illumined object. Vyangyasya, vyangyam means illumined. So vyanjakaha alokaha vyangyasya akaratam iyat. So this light which illumines the opaque, as which is formless, assumes the form of an illumined opaque. Yatha, just as. Similarly, sarvartha vyanjakatvat. Sarvartha vyanjakatvat. Dhihi, similarly, dhihi, the intellect also. Sarvartha vyanjakat, the intellect has the status of being the illuminator of all objects. Sarva means all, artha objects. Sarvartha vyanjakatvam. Vyanjakatvam means having the status of being the illuminator. Who has the status of being the illuminator? Who has vyanjakatvam? Dhihi. Dhihi, intellect, has the status of being the illuminator. Dhihi, intellect, has sarvartha vyanjakatvam. Dhihi has the vyanjakatvam. It has the status of being the illuminator, which means intellect is the illuminator. Illuminator of what? Sarva artha, all objects. All objects. The intellect has the status of being the illuminator of all objects perceived through all sense organs. What is perceived through eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin, and based on perception, whatever is inferred. So dhihi, the intellect, has the status of being the illuminator of all objects perceived through all five sense organs. Dihi, and that dihi also, intellect also, arthakaraha pradishyate. Dihi also, dihi intellect is very, very, very subtle. Intellect obtaining in the form of subtlest thoughts also assume the forms of objects. Intellect also assumes the form of an object. Objects. Arthakaraha pradrishyate. Pradrishyate. Pradrishyate means is seen. Intellect also is seen in the form of an object. Arthakaraha. Intellect also is seen in the form of objects. What does it mean? The intellect, I mean the antahkaranam, antahkaranam first assumes the through each sense power, like netrakara vritti, shrotrakara vritti, in different thought modifications, through the sense organs, they spread, that vritti spread all over. Then it not simply the forms. The intellect is capable of grasping even subtle, abstract ideas and concepts. Why? Because the intellect has the capacity to illumine all types, all forms of all kinds of objects. So, arthakara pradrishyate means the intellect also, intellect here means, I mean, antakarana vritti assumes the form of the corresponding object. So what is mentioned, said in this verse? See, every individual human being has one's own private internal world of one's own self. Every individual has got one's own internal private world of one's own self. And the interaction of every individual is only with that privatized internal world of one's own self. So the response, whatever response is there on the part of any individual, that response is only to that internal, the objects of that internal private world. There's no other world which exists for any individual apart from the world which is internalized. Therefore, the response on the part of individual is only to the world which is the privatized internal world. What means is light, the formless light illumines the opaque forms, assumes the opaque forms. Just as similarly, the thoughts also assume the object, forms of objects, the form of the objects, which means the thoughts pervade. So what we see, the world we see is actually the world which we see in our own antahkaranam. The world may, for us it seems as if the world is external. Really speaking, our interaction is with the world which exists in our own mind, in the form of thoughts. That is the lesson. But now I may think that I'm talking to people who are sitting in front of me. Really speaking, where are you all? All six of you, I mean, seven of you are in front of me. We're all in the form of thoughts in my own mind. You are all part of the world, and the world, actually speaking, is not outside, it is in the mind. My response, my interaction, my dealing is only with the privatized internal world which I have. Who illumines these objects? The light of mind. The light of mind, light of antahkaranam illumines the objects. Which objects? All the objects perceived through sense organs. The objects perceived are outside, but really speaking, the thoughts are inside. Therefore, the world does not exist outside. The world is in our own mind. It looks, because of our identity with the physical body, it looks as though the world is outside. Really speaking, our response, our interaction, our dealing, our discussion, everything is with the world which is privatized, internalized, the internal world of objects. Anyway, it become clearer. Don't worry. It's the old lesson. Let me go to the new lesson today. Maturmanabhinishpat ஸ்திஹி மாதுர்மானாபிநிஷ்பத்திஹி நிஷ்பன்னம் மேயமேதி தத் நிஷ்பன்னம் மேயமேதி தத். The 29th verse I'll redo again because I'll summarize the whole chapter next class. மாதுர்மானாபிநிஷ்பத்திஹி நிஷ்பன்னம் மேயமேதி தத் நிஷ்பன்னம் மேயமேதி தத் மேயாபிசங்கதம் தச்ச மேயாபிசங்கதம் தச்ச மேயாபத்வம் ப்ரபத்யதே மேயாபிசங்கதம் தச்ச மேயாபத்வம் ப்ரபத்யதே மாதுர்மானாபிநிஷ்பத்திஹ நிஷ்பன்னம் மேயமேதி தத் மேயாபிசங்கதம் தச்ச மேயாபத்வம் ப்ரபத்யதே. See here, Matur, you break it, Matuhu, Manabhinishpatihi, Matuhu, Manabhinishpatihi, Rabhi is the prefix, Matuhu, Manabhinishpatihi. Nishpannam tat. தத்து மேயம் ஏதி நிஷ்பன்னம் தத்து மேயம் ஏதி மேய அபிசங்கதம் தத்து ச மேயாபத்வம் பிரபத்யதே. We'll make it very clear for you here. See, this மாதுர்மானாபிநிஷ்பத்திஹி நிஷ்பன்னம் மேயமேதி தத்து மேயாபிசங்கதம் தச்ச மேயாபத்வம் பிரபத்யதே. This 30th verse actually is from a commentary called Vartikam. This verse has been literally taken from a Vartikam. A Vartikam is an explanatory note or actually it's a commentary upon commentary. Is called Vartikam. And this is from a Vartikam. Vartikam written by Sureshwaracharya. And the name of Vartikam is Manasullasaha. Manasa Ullasaha. And this Sureshwaracharya had written Vartikam, a commentary called Manasullasa on ஆதிசங்கராச்சாரியாஸ் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி ஸ்தோத்திரம். ஆதிசங்கராச்சாரியாஸ் தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி ஸ்தோத்திரம். Now it's very popular. Manasullasa is a very very well known Vartikam written by Sureshwaracharya. And especially this Manasullasa Vartikam on தட்சிணாமூர்த்தி ஸ்தோத்திரம, which we have done actually. Adishankaracharya is very well known, and from that Vartikam alone, Vidyaranya Swami has literally brought this verse. This verse is actually from Manasullasa Vartikam on Dakshinamurti Stotram. So here, there in that verse, Sureshwaracharya says, Matuhu Mana Abhinishpatihi. See, Mata here means, be careful, Mata literally means mother. But here Mata actually stands for Pramata. Pramata means knower. See, Mata means measurer. Mata means measurer. But pramata means knower. No, pakrashena mati iti pramata. One who accurately measures, knows, is called pramata. So matuhu is a possessive case form of mata. It means matuhu means pramatuhu. Pramatuhu means the knowers. The subject of knowledge is pramata. Mata means pramata and matuhu means pramatuhu. It's a positive case, which means knowers. Pramata, subject of knowledge. And then pramatuhu. Mana. Manam means measuring, knowing. Manam means measuring, knowing. So here, the pramata, the knower, who has the status of being the knower? Mind. Mind alone is said to be the pramata here. The knower who has the status of being the pramata? Mind. So what is this mind? Mind, various thoughts constitute the mind. So thoughts themselves are inert in nature. Every time the thought rises, and what is already there is the illumining consciousness. Therefore, the non-recognizable consciousness becomes recognizable when the thought rises. Therefore, that recognizable consciousness in the presence of thought is said to be manifest consciousness. You understand? Consciousness is always there. Without coming, without going, consciousness is always there. If the thoughts are not there, consciousness is non-recognizable. Consciousness is, but is not recognizable. But the consciousness is recognizable only when it has the illuminator status, knower status. When does the consciousness, so when the thoughts rise, consciousness becomes recognizable. That recognizable consciousness in the presence of thoughts, consciousness is said to be manifest consciousness. In the absence of thoughts, consciousness is pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is non-recognizable. Manifest consciousness is recognizable. So recognizable consciousness, non-recognizable consciousness. So non-recognizable consciousness is pure consciousness. Recognizable consciousness is manifest consciousness. And when is consciousness recognizable, manifest? In the presence of thoughts. But as thoughts with manifest consciousness becomes what now? Conscious thoughts. Thought with manifest consciousness or thought and manifest consciousness, the conscious thought. And it is this conscious thought which enjoys the status of being the knower pramata. Okay, matuhu, you have to understand this much. So the conscious, manifest consciousness with the thought, or you can say the thoughts with manifest consciousness is now the pramata. So Vedanta makes it very clear. The perception is possible because these conscious thoughts, the thoughts with manifest consciousness as a conscious thoughts alone enter the sense organs, and through the sense organs conscious thoughts get out and they illumine the external objects. Illumine the external objects. This is what Vedanta says. Veda says thoughts go out, conscious thoughts go out, and through each sense organ, the conscious thought goes out and spreads on those external objects and illumines those corresponding objects. Therefore, perception of form, sound, taste, touch, etc., perception of objects takes place. This is how perception is explained in Vedanta Shastra. Perception of external objects is possible because objects are pervaded and illumined by conscious thoughts which go through the sense organs. And so how many thoughts are there? So there is a vritti, a thought is called vrittihi. So vrittihi, that we have the shrotra vrittihi, netra vrittihi, grana vrittihi, rasana vrittihi, tog vrittihi. Through each sense organ, there is a given corresponding vritti goes and it illumines the corresponding object. That's how there is perception of all five types of objects. All objects takes place. Thereby, knowledge also takes place. Knowledge of corresponding object takes place because perception takes place. Perception takes place because vrittis, conscious vrittis, travel through sense organs and go out and illumine the external objects. Now, so here, matuhu mana abhinishpatihi. So, matuhu here, as I said already, pramatuhu. Pramatuhu means the knowers, pramatas, apostrophe s. Pramatas means the minds. All mind has all five types of vrittis, all five fold vrittis, which travel through five sense organs. Pramatuhu vrittis, the inter vrittis of the mind. So vrittis of the pramata. Pramatuhu means of pramata. Vrittis of pramata. Which vrittis? Five fold vrittis of pramata. They rise in the mind. So fivefold vrittis of pramata, the mind, rise and they go outside through the sense organs. So this is how mind even backs up the sense organs. So each corresponding thought, corresponding vrittihi, corresponding to mean the respective vritti, relevant corresponding vritti. Suppose the shrotra vrittihi travels through the ear and pervades the object called sound. Netra vrittihi travels through the seeing power and pervades the object, shines in light. Grana vrittihi, the vritti which travels to the nose, really pervades object called smell, like that. So each respective vritti, in fact, illumines its corresponding object. So unless and until this conscious thought, this antahkarana vrittihi with manifest consciousness, that is called conscious vrittihi, unless and until the vritti goes out and comes in contact with the object, the perception doesn't take place. When the vritti goes out, if it reaches the object, the vritti needs to come in contact with the object. Once the vritti comes in contact with the object, it's called prameya vritti. Before it comes in contact with the object, it's called a pramana vritti. Be careful. Pramana vritti alone becomes prama vritti. Prama means knowledge. Prama means knowledge. Pramanam means instrument of knowledge. The same antahkarana vritti has the status of being the pramanam as long as it doesn't come in contact with the object. Until the vritti goes out, it comes in contact with the object, it is known as pramana vritti. Once it has come in contact with the object, it's called pramiti vritti. Prama means cognition, knowledge. So when is its pramana, the same vritti is called pramana vritti until it comes in contact with the object. Once the vritti comes in contact with the object, then the knowledge takes place. It's called prama vritti. That cognition in the form of a thought. Is it clear? Same vritti has very close. Pramanam prama. And this pramanam belongs to what? Vritti belongs to pramata. Who is the pramata? The mind itself. So pramata, mind has the status of being the pramata. The vrittis of the mind, the pramata, 5 different vrittis rise and travel through sense organs and illumine the objects. But until the vrittis reach the objects, come in contact with the objects, the vrittis are called pramana vrittis. Once the vrittis come in contact with the object, then knowledge takes place, is called prama vrittihi. Prama means cognition, knowledge. Prama is also vritti. Pramanam is also vritti. Pramata is also mind. Okay? That's what I wanted to. It's very interesting to know. Pranav, pramata, pramanam, prama. Therefore, it is said, Matuhu mana abhinishpatihi nishpannam meyameti tat. See, Matuhu manam, mana abhinishpatihi. Mana abhinishpatihi means the vrittis, manam means instrument of knowledge. Be careful. Matuhu, pramatuhu, minds. Mana means instrument, pramanam. Abhinishpatti means rising. So the thoughts, see, the word manam stands for pramanam. Matuhu stands for pramata. Matuhu is equal to pramatuhu. Mana is equal to pramanam. Abhinishpatihi, rising, originating, coming into existence. So, when the thoughts, antakarana vrittis, which rise from the pramata, the mind, have this name, pramana vrittis. how long do they have the name pramana vrittis? As long as they do not reach the object, they are called pramana vrittis. Mana nishpattihi. And once they nishpannam, the thoughts which have risen, mayam yeti. Mayam means object of knowledge. Prameyam. Mayam is equal to object of knowledge. Mayam yeti. Yeti means goes. The thoughts which arise go to the object. Once they come in contact with the object, then same vritti is called prama vrittihi or pramiti vrittihi. So mayam is equal to prameyam. Prameyam means object of knowledge. So the first the thoughts rise, pramatuhu mana abhinishpattihi means the thought, mana means pramanam. So the antakana vrittis which rise from the mind, fivefold vrittis rise, and these fivefold vrittis which rise in the mind, and they travel through sense organs, and they are known as pramana vrittis. And these pramana vrittis, when they come in contact with the prameyam, nishpannam yeti, yeti means goes, gacchati, prameyam prati gacchati. When it reaches the prameyam, it comes in contact with the prameyam, the same vritti is given a different name, pramavrittihi or pramiti vrittihi. Meya abhisangatam. Meya abhisangatam. Meya abhisangatam means meya means prameyam, this object of knowledge. Abhisangatam means having gone near the object. Abhisangatam means gone near. Having gone near the object. Having gone near the object means what? Having pervaded the object. Having come in contact with the object. Meya abhisangatam, same vritti. Meya abhatvam prapadyate. Meya abhatvam means it assumes the form or shape of the object. The vritti which goes near. Meya abhisangatam. Meya means prameyam. Abhisangatam tat. That vritti which has gone and come in contact with the object, just come close to the object, come in contact with the object, just pervaded the object, assumes the shape or form of the object. Meya abhatvam. Abha means like. Meya abhatvam means it assumes the form or shape. It becomes like the object. The vritti becomes like the object means what? Vritti assumes the form of an object. Prapadyate, it attains, it assumes the form or shape of the object, meyam. Meyabhattvam prapadyate means it assumes the form of an object. And that vritti, which has assumed the form of the prameyam, form or the shape of the prameyam, is known as pramavrittihi or pramiti vrittihi. What does it mean? It is the vritti which is the cognition or knowledge of the object. And this same vritti gives the pramata the status of being the pramata, the knower status. This is how the whatever is jagat is externally there, that world, the form of the external world, image of the external world of objects is formed in one's own mind. The internal private world, which is the image of the world, is formed in every individual's mind. And all our dealings with the world is actually with this internal private world. Is it clear? So, Matuhu Mana Abhinishpatihi. Be careful here. Matuhu means Pramatuhu. And Pramata here is another than the mind. You get to take, mind alone has the status of being the pramata. And from this mind alone, what happens? The vrittis rise. Vrittis rise is called mana abhinishpatihi. The vrittis alone enjoy the status of being the instruments of knowledge. And these, how many types of vrittis? Fivefold vrittis rise. And each vritti is called pramana vrittihi. They rise, they go through, each vritti travels through the sense organ, goes out to the object. Until it comes in contact with the object, it has the name pramana vrittihi. Then it assumes, it reaches the object, then assumes the form of an object. Then the cognition knowledge of the object takes place, which is called prama vrittihi or pramiti vrittihi. When the prama vrittihi, pramiti vrittihi is there, takes place, then the mind already, there is known as what? Pramatru status comes, knower status comes. So pramata is mind, pramanam is mind, prameyam. Isn't it? Pramitihi is also mind. Now, where is the object? Is the object out in the world or in your own mind? The external world is now in the form of your own thoughts. All the objects perceived are in the form of thoughts. In fact, thoughts alone are in the form of externally perceived objects. This is something amazing Vedanta says. So, there is an image of world of objects perceived in our own mind. There is an image of the world of objects perceived in our own mind. There's a cognitions of the externally perceived objects, cognitions of the world of objects, which constitute the image, the cognitions of the objects perceived, constitute the internalized, privatized world of the image of the external world. Suppose, if we happen to see a stump of a tree, and if we missed in a dim light, we see the stump of a tree, and we it is fog, but the vrittis can go out and pervade the object, and the cognition can be what? You can think of a thief, or you can see a rope, mistake it for a snake. The external object is rope, but the vritti which has gone and pervaded the object and the cognition is what? There is a wrong perception. This rope is perceived as a snake and there is a rope cognition is not there. The snake cognition is there. And what are you dealing with? Actually, what is outside is the rope. But we deal with the world of our own private world, the privatized world of objects. That there in your world, what is a snake, not the rope. So where does the error take place? In perception. Isn't it? What is rope? But what the of course the vritti has risen. Pramane doshaha, isn't it? The vritti has risen, has gone out through eyes, and until it contacted the object, it is a pramana vritti. One has come in contact with the object, it is what? Prameyam. What is mayam there? Mayam is snake, rope. But even though what is rope, but what is it, how is it perceived? As snake. What is the cognition you have now? Snake jnanam, sarpa jnanam, sarpa pramitihi, sarpasya prama, in cognition. The image of what has been perceived outside is in the form of a snake. Now, the fear comes. So which world are we dealing with? Our interaction is with image of the world, which is private world, is internalized world in our own mind. If what is outside and what is inside is the same, then there cannot be fear. What are we dealing with? So the world which we are dealing with is the image of the world in our own, which we formed in our own mind. This more we'll see next class. Do you have any doubts there? Suppose today what I said, the words are all different words. Instead of the pra is removed, pramanam, the pra is removed. Therefore mana, matuhu, pramatuhu, mana nishpattihi. Nishpattihi means creation, origination, coming into existence. Meyam means prameyam. The pra prefix is missing in every word there. Which means pramata, also mind has the status of being the pramata. Mind alone has the status of being the pramanam. Mind alone is name of pramanam or pramitihi also. So cognition is mind, perception is mind, isn't it? And then knower is mind. Knower means relatively. Pramata, knower status the mind has because of the blessing of the Atma. So what the lesson, what is important is that we are dealing, interacting with the world, not exactly the world which is outside. We only interacting with the world, the image of the world formed in our own mind. We are dealing, interacting with the world, not exactly what the world is outside, but the image of the world, external world, formed in our own minds as a private world, internalized world. That is the important lesson of the day. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.